you want to dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal? Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Well then, you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 1,200 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day at www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
Hi, this is Luke.
And this is Tobin from Quest Research.
Hey, Tobin, what do you get when four guys with absolutely no video experience whatsoever decide to produce their online paranormal TV show?
I don't know. What? Oh, wait. I do know. Ghost Diaries, right?
That's right.
You can check us out and get involved at www.questresearch.net. And good thing about being new is that we will only get better.
Don't be caught bored waiting for something to go bump in the night. Listen to the Paranormal Broadcast System with Brad, Brandon, Todd, and Paul.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Man.
Listen to some great interviews with some amazing that run the gamut from ghost hunting groups across the country to paranormal personalities in the media. First, let's be serious for a moment. then let's have some fun. We've got it all covered. Tune in and listen to intriguing interviews with our hosts from L.A. Spirits and the Louisiana Spectral Research Center. Then kick back and listen to us try to be funny with some crazy Cajuns. And some other guys, too. This is no kids show, folks. It's the Paranormal Broadcast System. Listen to us poke fun at ourselves. It's funnier that way. You can find us at www.lagghosts.com. That's www.lagghosts.com.
Hey, we're back to Ghostly Talk, sponsored by Joey's Ectoplasm Cleaners. You bought it, we starved it.
Filmmaker Suzanne Taylor is part of a lively community of iconoclasts who marvel at crop circles. Her documentary, What on Earth, tracks her interactions with those croppies in England as they go circle chasing, indulge in circle analysis, and share why they are so fascinated by the crop circle phenomenon. The website is www.whatonearththemovie.com, and What on Earth the Movie is no spaces, no hyphens, just all run together, www.whatonearththemovie.com. And Ghostly Talk would like to welcome Suzanne Taylor to the show. Welcome, Suzanne.
Did we lose her?
Did we lose Suzanne?
I believe we have.
Suzanne?
Can she not hear us?
She has to be able to hear us. Suzanne, you there?
Uh-oh.
Well, that's peculiar. What's broken? Hello? Suzanne?
What did you break, Scott?
I didn't break anything. Suzanne?
Do you have her in she's in channel.
Everything's good to go here. All right. I can hear the phone crackling.
Interesting.
Suzanne?
I can try it again.
let's just call her back.
Technology is so interesting because we were chatting and laughing and having a good time with her on the break. And then it sort of got lost. Well,
yeah, we'll get her back.
Good.
I hope.
if not, we can talk about crop circles for an hour. I don't know much about them, but I have, seen them in movies. We did talk.
Keep going, Doug.
Oh, I'm supposed to keep going. Yes. Bonnie's typing. Scott's going crazy with the computer.
Oh, Doug, cut it out. We can do better than this. Let's just have a conversation like we used to when we talk.
There you are. We don't know what happened. Can you hear us? Suzanne, can you hear us? Why can't we hear Suzanne?
It's interesting. It's like it goes in and out.
Hello?
Because I heard her say, did we get disconnected?
Yeah.
And then after that, nothing.
All right, this is the reason.
Hello?
I hear her.
Can you
Suzanne,
hear us?
Can you hear us,
Suzanne?
She doesn't hear us. Is that the button?
No, we're totally in. Everything's perfect. Okay, we got a backup plan here. We'll try that. No, it's cool. I got it under control.
Disconnected.
I think something, I don't know what, can we just go to the phone line? Is that okay? Because something just doesn't seem to be working with Skype now.
Yeah, I don't know. I tried to, when it called back, I clicked on it, but.
And that's interesting because we didn't.
You want me to call you?
No.
No, we can just do the phone. Are you okay with the phone?
Sure. No, phone is fine.
Sorry about that. That's really strange. I don't know what happened.
Do you want me to start over and then we'll start?
No, you don't need to start over. I mean, we can just go with it. No.
Okay.
So, well, the movie itself, we introduced you so finally. It would have been great.
Are they listening to us doing this?
What's that? Oh, yeah.
We're being listened to, huh?
Oh, yes. This is live.
This is a live show. This rarely happens.
We're not behind the curtain or anything.
No. It's very rare this happens, but when it does, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? So
yeah, that's just marveling at this modern technology. Look what it did to us, golly.
Yeah, that's what happens when it's live like this. I had just gotten done introducing folks, and I gave the website a couple of times.
And I don't even know what wonderful things you said about me.
It was all good.
It was all good, yes. Yes. And I had given the website www.whatonearththemovie.com. And I did note that it was What on Earth the Movie is all run together with no spaces or hyphens. It's just whatonearththemovie.com.
Yes.
And then I welcomed filmmaker Suzanne Taylor to the show, but then we heard nothing. So let me try it again. Welcome to Ghostly Talk, as bumpy a ride as it is.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
A belated hi.
Well, it is so good to talk to you. And you know what's interesting? Crop circles are something that I've, you know, seen obviously throughout my life. I haven't seen them physically, but I've seen them, you know, in movies or on the internet or in magazines even. It's actually a big item. People wonder about these things. It makes mainstream media even. It makes it into, you know, movies and magazines and on TV. The crop circles are something that really tickle the imagination of all of the world, but, you know, obviously I'm only in tune with Americans, and I know that there's a lot of Americans that wonder, what is going on? And then you have groups, you know, you have all these different things happen, but I'm wondering about your involvement in this. When did it tickle your fancy?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm amazed that all those things that you said are not really more pervasive. Why isn't the world just in awe? You're speaking about a very small number, relatively speaking, of people who are just bowled over, and then everybody else is either indifferent, or they think it all got solved, or they don't even know it exists. I mean, it's really amazing that something as startling as this is so relatively invisible. So to answer your question, when did I get tweaked by the circles? You know, I was producing all kinds of events and projects having to do with essentially the transformation of consciousness, this great awakening going on in society. And it started years ago when we were calling it personal growth. It was more focused on individual kind of self-awareness and personal growth. And then we've moved along into consciousness and spirituality and our considerations of our worldview, which is how we think collectively. But way back when I was still doing a lot of things that had to do with personal growth, the crop circles just came into my path. I'm a very curious person. I've kind of got my eyes open for everything. And it just became one of the topics that was of interest that seemed to be able to have some impact on the way we think, on the way we are. But then, this was the late 80s. And the just happenstance was that I had a friend with a son stationed in the military in England, and on his leaves he would go out and take pictures of what he was then calling landing pads for UFOs. That's what they all thought they were in England. So I saw these pictures and I thought, what's that? That's so interesting. And that's how it became one of the topics. So I had sort of a salon of one sort or another for many years, and still do actually. And some of the teachers, some of the enthusiasts, the people who are very plugged into this have a little colloquial name. They're all called croppies. I am now a croppie. And some of the croppies who were doing presentations about them, one of them lived not far from me in L.A., and then another one came in from England, and they became my guests in the living room for my salon presentations. And, you know, more and more, then I went to England, then I saw them for myself, and then over the years it became an obsession, actually, if you really want to know the truth, that the world was not getting the right information. And who was going to bring it to them? Well, guess who? Moi! So we have a lot of people who are very plugged into the circles. In fact, there's a community that collects every summer in England. They come from all over the world. Those are essentially the croppy community. And all the books that are written and the film products or video products mostly that are made, photographs that are taken, they do all of that. And so now I'm actually part of that world. I get into conferences. I show my film. This year, because it's new this year. Prior to that, I was on panels. And more and more I've just sort of dropped all the other things that I was focused on or including to really concentrate on how in the world am I going to, you know, wake the world up. And I'm the one of all of those people. I don't write the books and I don't take the photographs, but I'm the one that has the most interest on telling the rest of the world what's going on, bringing their photographs, bringing their books, bringing their information to the world. And, you know, how do you do that? You make a movie.
Well,
so I used to be an actress, actually. So and I was married to a big-time writer-producer. And so my world was very, I was very familiar with the whole showbiz and film world. And so I started to look around for a director and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, if you want me to talk forever, I'll talk. But they didn't want to say something.
Well, I'm just absolutely really fascinated with this because if you go back to the beginning of what you were talking about, you were engaged in your life, right, doing your stuff, you know, just going, that's what fascinates me is the instant transition. Because I think about how temporary everything seems to really be, because what if I'm going along in my life and I'm going to work every day or I'm doing my stuff and then, you know, my family is doing their things and I'm involved in that little cosmos of, you know, my family and friends.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden something lures my interest away, such as this, and suddenly I become a crappie and I'm talking about this constantly and learning and going to England and all these things. My friends must have, you know, probably would think I went insane.
Well, of course, they do think I went insane. Well, my acquaintances, perhaps. My friends already know that I'm pretty sick. You know, as a Phi Beta Kappa, I graduated Civ Cum Laude from NYU. So if anybody, I once wrote a cookbook and they erased that part because they thought it was a sorority. But, that, you know, I got 100 on everything. I'm not dumb, you know? and I say that because there's so much resistance as if somehow this is a ridiculous topic and how could, in fact, you know who gets the most irritated about this topic? Intellectuals. I think it's because I'm an intellectual, and they think I've gone south, you know, that I've deserted them or I've, you know, turned on them or some such.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I became involved and just paid attention, I saw the evidence, and I saw that there was no way we could be making these. And I realized that would change the world. That would be the most changeful thing that had ever happened to humanity if we actually proved or became aware or accepted and acknowledged that there's another intelligence out there. It's our science fiction now. Mm-hmm. But if it became fact, the entire world would shift. And, you know, do we need this now? I mean, what can create a peaceful shift? We so desperately need another way to perceive everything. We're in such trouble, and it's all fingers in the dike to fix all the things that are wrong because it's our belief system that's holding those things in. So what we have to change in order to really fix this world is to change some of the fundamentals of how, who we think we are, what we think we're doing here. And if we turn from becoming a selfish, kind of turned on each other, making war kind of world, into a world where humanity is cooperating and one humanity working together, that's what we need to come to.
What?
And my belief is that circles can get us there. You know, if we knew there was another intelligence, we would be one humanity dealing with the other.
Well, that's science fiction right now, too, is a one world working together.
Well, it is. You know, I heard on Larry King, I don't know, last week, one of my favorite people was on, Andy Weil. He's the great guru of alternative health, but he's enough of a straight doctor that they take him seriously, and he gets on Larry King all the time. And so he was talking about all this healthcare stuff going on. It's kind of like moving the deck chairs on the Titanic because we're not really dealing with what's really wrong. And Larry King said, "Oh, that's but that's so major." And Andy Weil said, "Right, major, right. That's what we need. We need major."
I agree, and I just don't know if I see it happening in my lifetime. I would love to.
Yeah.
There's a lot of folks, you know, going. But you know what I like about crop circles is they're so visual.
They're gorgeous, yeah.
Certain things appeal to different senses. And I know, for example, a fellow who wants to bring together, we had him on the show.
Yeah, recently.
He wants to bring together people through drum circles. Now, that's a very tactile thing, and that you're, you know, you're supposedly engaged in a social situation with a, I don't know, some kind of drum. I've never, you know, done it for that. I in college I went to a drum circle once, but it was a completely different kind of thing. But anyway, so you're sitting there, and it's a very tactile thing because you're using your hands. Well, I don't know.
That was the greatest drum circle I've ever been to.
But
just don't do it in a sweat lodge.
Right, that would be scary. But so you're, you know, you're drumming. It's very oral. You know, you've got your.
Shouldn't
you know,
mention jokes about people who died. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
But you've got sensations going. You know, with the, you know, the feel of the drum and the rhythm, and then you've got the oral, because the, you know, it's obviously a huge audio thing, and you can hear it, and you can become part of this thing, and for a few moments, you know, your awareness is expanded. It just
hey,
absolutely.
All right,
is.
Invite me. I'll come.
And but then, you know, but then you have to go to work the next day, of course. But what I'm wondering, crop circles, I really dig them in this case because, like you're saying, if something can really change the world or bring people's awareness, it's got to have it all. It's got to have especially that visual sensation because we live in a very visual world. You know,
the difference, though, is you got your drum circle or whatever you've got. It comes and it goes. It stops.
Mm-hmm.
Once we know there's another intelligence and we do accept that, it doesn't go away. It's forever. We've changed everything forever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a quantitative difference between all the other kinds of things that create change. And they're all wonderful. I mean, you know, a lot of them are wonderful. There are wonderful things. We all have to work on ourselves, always, you know, that won't preclude that. But how do we get everything to change quickly? Aha. Contact in headlines, it changes everything.
Well, yeah,
and if
they would definitely change quickly. Do you think they're going to, I mean, when it comes to, I mean, quick change, yeah, that'd be wonderful to see, like, wake up tomorrow and see a world where people are all working together. As we know, I don't think it would be that simple.
Well, I wonder if it would come to that, though.
Wait a minute. First of all, the minute contact is in headlines, nothing changes except people are in shock.
Yeah.
But nothing
yeah,
really
right
changes.
Mm-hmm.
But then it works out, you know. Then just picture it. Now you know that we're being visited. It'll never leave your mind. And what do we do? Every talk show, every all news
mm-hmm.
station, every sitcom, everything is all going to be blazing with that information. And as I say, it won't go away. So we'll all have to sort of be dealing with, well, what do we do?
Yeah.
And it is a question for the whole world because it's outside our world and it's engaging with us from outside our world. So it has us all in its spell, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the last time the world experienced such an incredibly revolutionary change in the worldview, in the fundamentals, was with Galileo, when it was absolutely proved that Earth was no longer the center of the universe. Well, there used to be kings before that. There was very dominator sort of models. We were the dominant planet, you know. We were it. We were the big thing in the universe. Well, when we became just part of a larger universe, that gave way to democracy. Modern science came out of that. These things like this are so major that, you know, of course, not the moment they happen, you haven't got all of a sudden peace on Earth.
Yeah.
But it will work its way out to that. You'll have something much bigger to deal with than all this relative pettiness that creates us so hostile and violent and abusive and, you know, all of those negative things that we're so good at.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. That's what I was saying before. I mean, obviously, a quick change it could be, but I think there's going to be some, you know, some rocky roads on the way to that.
Okay, you know, we're on the rocks now. You know, we just have to work our way off.
That's true.
Yeah, and
you lost your train of thought.
This is where the meltdown begins, Doug.
Well,
this is where you take over.
Well, what I like.
You are the HA cluster, Doug. Yeah. You are node B in the HA cluster. As
I want to give you
key terms.
I was talking about the visual sensation.
Doug, you have the floor.
Because they are. Thank you, Scott. They are gorgeous.
Yeah.
And
they are gorgeous.
They're beautiful. Yeah,
and
I agree.
And I wonder if they are. If there's a message to them, or if you can put it all together and read them like a book, or is it just something, an individual experience when you look at it like art? You know, because when you look at art, you can say, oh, it looks like he was, you know, angry that day or whatever, and you can get a feeling for what was going on in the painter's mind, what he wanted to get across. But is this like an art thing where you can look at it and you get something very personal connection to this crop circle or the series of crop circles, or is it more literal than that?
Oh, a major question.
Oh, maybe I shouldn't have asked that just before the break.
No, it's a good question. It's just a big question. You know, it's a really big question, so I'll try to give you a kind of, you know, smaller answer than the answer that would take us till you're off the air. You know?
Thank you.
Okay, so there is not, it seems, a kind of jigsaw puzzle being presented to us where when we get all the pieces, we'll know the language or hieroglyphics, you know, that we can interpret as bits and pieces coming in individual ones, and then when we get it all, we'll have the message. Doesn't seem to be that way. However, each individual formation, we call them circles, but mm-hmm. you know, now they've gone way past being certainly simple circles, and some of them are all circular combinations of circular elements, but we have many other shapes now, so we just colloquially call them crop circles, and I call them the circles, but the formations are now I've lost my train of thought. Where am I?
Oh, we're all melting down on record.
What's the language? Okay. So individual ones are loaded with interpretations from all different strata, depending, some more so than others. But like a good juicy one, you'll have an interpretation from biology. You'll have an interpretation from geomancy. You'll have an interpretation from mathematics. And people who are real good in all those fields, one wouldn't know the other's interpretation. But then we have a one website that, as the formations come in during the summer, each one gets a page, and all of these interpretations get mailed in. And you're just in awe of how much intelligence is encoded in these things. Now, but that's individual. So what's the big story? Why is that? Why don't they link together? What are they trying to tell us, right? Well, now, of course, we're in speculation. The interpretations are not speculation, but what's the point? You know, what's the connection? Speculation. So my speculation is that the other is bombarding us with intelligence so that we get, you can interpret it this way, you can interpret it that way. All these things are encoded in these individual circles. Well, something that can do that is very intelligent. And when you got that it's not us and that we can't do it, hoaxing aside, but we can't do it, the phenomenon is not human produced. So something with intelligence is producing it. And if we knew that, that would change the world. We don't need them to spell out stop making war or, you know, we don't need them to give us advice, you know. We need to know they exist. And once we know they exist, the world changes. So I think in some ways gently and beautifully, they just keep bombarding us. It shouldn't be too sudden. It shouldn't be shocking. It shouldn't be like, oh, my God, what happened? It's like gradually we come to say, what's going on? Oh, my gosh. Look at this. This is a this thing more and more. Look, it's all intelligence. We're getting intelligence we're not doing. And then it becomes a part of your understanding. It becomes part of you. You haven't been hit over the head and forced to swallow something. Or forced to adopt a belief system, you know. You've actually understood. Now you are part of a world that you know has other intelligence in it. And as humanity comes to that place, now some of us have come to that place because we're studying the crop circles. Humanity doesn't know from that. But then if contact gets into headlines, then humanity gets the message that indeed is going on. And that's all we need. All we need is to know that another intelligence is visiting us. So my belief is that that is what they have in mind.
Interesting.
Yes, yeah.
We're going to go to break, going to digest that because it is a major change,
yes.
and it would be amazing. So I'll digest that, and then we'll come back after this. Don't forget the all the music played on Ghostly Talk is independent music, and so I want everybody to enjoy independent music break, and we'll be back with more from Suzanne Taylor about crop circles and what they would mean and what they do mean if everybody can just realize that...
And where they can buy the DVD of my wonderful movie.
Oh, and that too, of course, if they can just realize that there is more out there.
We'll be right back.
And we'll be right back.
Ghostly Talk!
Station 3.0.
Did they remember how this is?
Wow, I keep shaking this ball, and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. The death card keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny. Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? Karma Cast has answers. Check out karmakast.com for show listings and times. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
Paranormal investigation groups all over the world are looking for answers. We often aim at the chance to get even the tiniest peek at who or what is on the other side. CPR, or Cooperative for Paranormal Research, is one of these groups. We are dedicated to finding the answers, dedicated to finding evidence of the paranormal, and dedicated to proving that some places are
truly haunted.
Things we have yet to learn about and understand. Join us here at Supernatural Existence and learn about the many mysteries of the universe. Feel free to subscribe via any of your favorite podcast directories, including iTunes, or check us out on the Supernatural Existence website at www.globeye.com. The mysteries are waiting to be understood.
I really want to see something supernatural with my own eyes. Not hear it or think I heard it or anything like that. Actually see it with my own eyes, capture it on camera. Hear something weird or something like that.
The television screen is the retina of the mind's eye. Therefore, television is reality, and reality is less than television.
This is Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
And we're talking with filmmaker Suzanne Taylor. The website, www.whatonearththemovie.com. All run together, no spaces or hyphens or anything. Whatonearththemovie.com. And we got a good feeling, Suzanne, about, you know, what brought you into this and what made you notice it and how you feel and how you've had quite an experience, and you have definite opinions on how this would change all of humanity and our views about the world and the universe and where we are and how pivotal what the meaning of the crop circles would really, really expand us and make us say, hey, we are together. We have to act together. We have to work together. This is no longer the universe as it was, you know, before we knew that there was
just our world here.
Right. It becomes something like we, you know, we are not alone. And that is like a huge statement. And you transformed that. You took all those feelings and more, right? And put it into a work of your own, a film, an actual movie called, you know, What on Earth. And I'm wondering what first of all, I love it. I love the fact that you did that. that is just brilliant. Because, like I said, the more you tickle the senses through, you know, music, sound, visuals, everything like that, the more impact that the statement will make. But what made you choose a DVD to produce? And of course, what can we expect once we watch it?
Well, it's a movie, and of course you put your movies on DVD. Hopefully,
yes.
It's also going to get on television.
Awesome.
It's on the agenda, you know, to try to sell it to television. I actually am the executive producer of the only other feature film ever made about the circles. That came out in 2003, and it was called Crop Circles: Quest for Truth. It was in theaters, and then it was on the Sci-Fi Channel for 3 years. So I would very much like to duplicate that track record, although I don't think I'm going to go for a theatrical release because, you know, if I can get it on television, more people are going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want people to see it because we are in trouble in the world, and I made it to change the world. You know, sounds crazy, but, hey, that's what I did because I can see how it can happen. And so I am now in a very intense marketing phase to get it out there. Being on your radio show is part of that.
Excellent.
And, you know, it's just really at the beginning of its introduction to the world. And I like to think it's the best product out there on the subject, and I think it is. And actually, people think it is. I mean, that's the feedback I get. Of course, would they tell me anything else? Yeah, they wouldn't say that if they didn't believe it, would they?
Well, I imagine a certain percentage might, but a lot more people I run into lately have been sometimes fairly brutal.
I haven't had anybody do that kind of slam on it.
And that's fantastic.
That first movie got a lot of slams, but I wasn't the filmmaker of that other movie. The people liked that other movie, but the critics were rather harsh on it. And you know why? Because it has the wrong title. It's called Crop Circles: Quest for Truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had a war with the filmmaker about that title, and it sent us into a very bad place with one another. because, in fact, it wasn't a quest for truth. It was his love of the circles, and he was telling you how wonderful they were, just like my film, in that sense that I'm not giving you the heavy scientific analysis in my film. I'm bringing you the enthusiasm of very intelligent people who have really given their lives to this phenomenon. Why in the world would people do that? Well, they're talking about it. You know, why has this become the most important thing in their lives? Because they recognize, as I do, how changeful it could be. So, you know, and my film has really, I've gotten no slams, you know, not one. There hasn't been one really negative piece of criticism, and I've gotten some incredibly positive pieces. So, you know, so far so good. You all know who Whitley Strieber is?
Oh, absolutely.
You all know who Whitley is. I'm looking for my postcard. Oh, do I not have one of my postcards here? I was going to read you the back of his, of the postcard, but... No. Oh, see, I got you all tempted here, and I'm in my office, and I don't have a postcard to be found here.
Whitley Strieber is, of course, a legend in paranormal broadcasting, and he, of course, would be an extreme proponent.
Oh, I found it. Okay,
you
want to hear what Whitley said? Okay,
please.
This is on Whitley's website after I did his radio show. Filmmaker Suzanne Taylor has created a magnificent, startlingly brilliant film. Groundbreaking crop formation documentary, incredibly beautiful and powerful. I didn't put it on my postcard, but what he also said was, buy the DVD. You have to have it. So that's kind of, you know, that's the way people really generally react to this film. It's very heartwarming. You know, you make a movie and you just pray that you've made something that people will like, you know.
We had a couple questions for the chat room. Did you have that one?
Oh, well, no, it was on the screen.
Wait, I got it right here. I got it right here, actually. No, I...
It was about... Well, first of all...
This was from a while ago, and we've been really...
Before we read it, though, I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
We, of course, our audience is comprised of paranormal enthusiasts, for the most part, and then a couple, you know, really crazy people. But the paranormal enthusiasts...
Those would be my fans.
Yeah, those are Bonnie's fans. So we're really into looking into this stuff and you know, thinking, dreaming, you know, trying to come up how does all this fit in with, you know, our reality and our perception of reality. And so one of the things that we do is we go out and we investigate some things. I went on a Bigfoot hunt, for example. I will try almost anything once, and then of course I tend to keep doing it if I liked it, and that includes ghost hunting, and that will include Bigfoot hunting, things like that. So what they're doing is that, you know, these are people who would really, really dig into such a topic as you had done. You had, you know, noticed it and then really dug into it, felt passionate about it, and created the movie, right? So these are very, very passionate people. Question from the chat room, can you read it though, Scott? Because
I got it right here. This was from Manuel a little while ago, and the question was, well, in your travels, you know, and studying these crop circles, and we may have gotten into this a little bit, but do you do any energy readings inside the circle or around it? I mean, I don't know if you guys do bring any real equipment out there, or try to see if there's any type of energy patterns that you may pick up. Have you guys ever tried that before?
Well, you see people with, we call them gizmos.
Yeah.
Yes, and so do we.
Yeah. Yes. So people are walking around circles with gizmos and they're getting readings. But, you know, I've never seen any studies or profound reports that give you a kind of an evidence from the readings of those gizmos that that's part of an important part of the research. And I personally don't really know what they're doing with those gizmos. But well, I'll tell you something I do know. Mm-hmm. The dowsers, yes, we know about dowsers.
Yeah.
The dowsers, I do know more about what they get, and they absolutely get results from reading the energy lines, seeing where the energy is. There's one of my favorite people is a dowser who lives about 90 miles away from crop circle country, and he comes in periodically to spend time in the circles. And once, to prove that dowsing really worked, because, you know, dowsing is like it's like muscle testing, kind of. You can kind of do anything with it. It'll give you answers. And what he was trying to demonstrate was the validity of dowsing. And he got in a car as the passenger. He put on a blindfold. He held his dowsing rods. He did not, you know, the driver, he told the driver where to go. Okay, now you have to go east. Okay, now, you know, whenever there was a crossroads or something, or the dowsing rods told him something, he guided the dowser, and he had a particular crop circle that he had set his intention on, and he got 90 miles dowsing to that crop circle. And so that's giving you an indication of the dowsing power, the power of dowsing. And the dowsers really can, they could recreate for you, again, if they were blindfolded, they could kind of draw the pattern for you as they work with their dowsing rods to see where the dowsing rods went, what they did. And that would not work, by the way, in a hoax circle. They wouldn't get any reading at all. So in some ways, the dowsers can tell us which circles have the juice because the rods will be affected. So, you know, mm-hmm. That's the closest I can come to tell you about energy in the circles.
And using gizmos and things like that, trying to pull.
And then there are people who are very sensitive to energy. One of the people in the film says, you know, when you approach a genuine crop circle, you can feel it yards away as you're approaching. And then there are some people who kind of can't go in, or they'll go in and they have to get out. The energy's too hot. It's too strong for them. I don't have a great sensitivity to that sort of thing, so I can't give you firsthand reports about that. I'm more of a mental person, but you get that all the time. You see that people have energetic reactions to them. And then there's one other aspect, which is there's a man named Nan Liu, who's the head of the Chinese Medical Association on the East Coast, and he brings students over to the circles every year, and he has, as part of his circle involvement, he has the patterns drawn out or printed out, so to speak, and he has students meditate on them for healing. So he has discerned various kinds of things that various patterns are good for, and we would take that back to the fact that these are constructed along the lines of sacred geometry. And sacred geometry is the way the universe is constructed. It's very harmonious. That's probably also why many of them are so beautiful. They are the heart of the universe. They're constructed the way the beauty of the universe is constructed. And indeed, they are so harmonious in their geometry that by meditating on them, staring at them, attuning to those harmonies, the body, which is out of tune, tunes back in. Now, if Nan Liu were here, he could give you a much, you know, an explanation in much more depth than that.
Yeah.
But I get it. That's what we've said that all along. Stare at these things. Stare at the patterns. That most of them have black and white pattern drawings that have been done about them. And stare at the patterns of the good ones, and they draw you into harmony.
I do agree that they do appear to be music to the eyes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's so many.
And
the
they
ones
have
we've seen,
such complexity
beautiful.
And beauty.
Yeah.
Okay, because I love the fact that you did a movie and a DVD about this. But
there's a lot of bonus material on it, by the way. We have an hour of wonderful bonus. I love my bonus material as much as I love my movie, so you get a lot on this movie.
Oh, I know.
81 minutes of feature film, and then you get an hour of bonus material.
Oh, I know how that is. The bonus material sometimes is like just so spontaneous and wonderful.
It is. It's fun. It's real fun.
But what about, like, there was indeed a humongous, you know, like major motion picture out in theaters about this. It was...
which one was that?
Well, it's right in our list. It's called Signs. And I remember remember seeing that movie, and it was entertaining. I didn't, you know, put much thought into it.
Was
I just
that
went
the, I'm trying to remember.
Well,
which one
it wasn't
was.
About the crop circles, but
no,
it used the crop circles. I mean, everything they said was phony, but you saw pictures of crop circles.
Was that M. Night Shyamalan who did that?
Yep, M. Night Shyamalan. That's right. That's who did it.
No, I've seen it before. Mel Gibson.
Yes, Mel Gibson. And
yes.
Obviously. It
served a purpose,
that.
Though. I'll tell you the purpose it served in crop circle world, because the first reaction most of the crop circle, most of the crop circle people had was, ugh, but look what they did to our crop circles. No, they made a monster movie. No. But they did two good things. One thing is that before that movie, many, many people who had no idea what a crop circle was, they now know. You say crop circle, and they say, what's that? And then you say signs, they go, oh, those. Okay, so now we've got a layer of awareness out there that wasn't there before. And another good thing is they didn't say that people made them, because that's the real bugaboo, that everybody's got it in their mind that people make them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that they didn't do that. They didn't bring people into that scene. It was paranormal, you know, so that was good. That was okay. So little things, one little thing at a time. We actually got very excited when our movie was in production, the first movie was in production while that was in production, and their initial plan was to do their whole ad campaign around the crop circles. In fact, if you saw their poster, it was just a huge crop circle, and everything else was kind of in the background. But they changed their ad campaign in the middle to focus on the monsters and not focus on the crop. We were very disappointed because we thought with that first movie that was going to make it, propel it into huge success, you know, if the crop circles were a major topic because of a major motion picture. But it just ended up being a kind of a minor little influence on the, you know, the circle of reality. So much for that.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and another question we had actually from the chat room was, and I thought this was interesting too. You know, we've been talking about, you know, look, they're trying to make contact with us, and we've asked this question before. I mean, I think it's a good question too. And one of the people I think Tony in the chat room mentioned this is that. You know, if extraterrestrials really want to contact us as people or make changes or whatever, you know, what it may be, obviously try to push us in a better direction, and warn us of the direction we're going in. Why don't they just be a little bit more obvious? Like, for example, what Tony said was, why don't they create a crop circle on the White House lawn during a press conference if they want people to take notice, right? I mean, why are they so subtle? I mean, why do we find these things out way out in field and stuff like that? Why don't they just go somewhere where we all kind of are focused on and create something there?
Or put a message on every SB coffee, Starbucks coffee, or something
like that. Well, let's get them on Larry King, and we can talk about that. We can have an argument with them about, why are you doing this foolish thing? Why don't you do something more obvious? I don't know. But anyway, we talk about this in the film, and it's an obvious question, you know. Mm-hmm. But as I said before, this is a much sweeter, kind of gentle process of having us come to a realization rather than hitting us over the head. And if they did something so obvious, all of a sudden it would be a jar to the world. And better, it should kind of become something that more and more people are recognizing and seeing. And then you have a kind of a bed of understanding there. Mm-hmm. And then if a big announcement gets made, it doesn't shock the whole world. You've already got a receptivity to it. And that makes sense to me. If I were a more advanced intelligence than we are, that would make sense to me to be a methodology. And it's kind of kinky, don't you think, that they come in crop fields? I mean, here we are in this scientific materialist world where everything has a price tag on it, and if we could save their deliveries, we'd put them up on museum walls. they'd be worth a whole lot of money. But it's very sweet that they do like Buddhist fan paintings. They just don't last. You make great beauty and you let it go. Because beauty just, how nice to have beauty pervade the world without price tags on it. So I like that too. That all seems like a greater intelligence. It's logical that they would do things that way.
Well, I can't agree with that. I gotta poke this in here. When it comes to beauty and art and things like that, one of my idols told me that years ago. You know, that I got to meet and we talked for a while, and he's like, "True art is something you can take and create and then just set it on fire." it's yours. You can do whatever you want with it, and you can admire it for whatever it is. Maybe some other people might admire it, but you can do what you want with it, and it can sit there. You can burn it. You can do whatever you want with it, but it's beauty. It's beautiful to you, right? And it's
years ago, I heard something that never left me, and I think it was about Bali, but it was about some native something, you know, somewhere that gets periodic floods and natural disasters that wipes out stuff. And they have these incredibly gorgeous constructs that get wiped out all the time. And the line that I liked about what their perspective was about art or about, you know, ownership and materialism is, we have no art. We do everything as well as we can. And that everything, you know, that beauty is just the way they do it. And if one thing gets taken away, they replace it with another thing that's beautiful, you know. Beauty is a way of life rather than something to own and
it's
get rich from.
It's not a commodity, you know. I mean, it's something
a
that
commodity,
you,
right?
It's something that
right.
you just should appreciate on your own.
Interesting.
Dog,
yeah,
you're itching.
I want to know. Okay, First of all, I go to www.whatonearththemovie.com. And
you
I
better
can...
go there and not go to the name of my movie, whatonearth.com, because you get clothing if you go to whatonearth.com.
Well, maybe I'll go there and buy a shirt, and then I'll watch whatonearththemovie.com.
I bet you I'm really good for their clothing business. I should hook up with them, and, you know.
Probably. But if, so I go there, and I assume I can get the DVD from there, right?
Yeah, like you can buy the DVD. It says buy the DVD.
The perfect link for me because
but you know it's a beautiful website. If you haven't been on it, it's a flash website and it's really trippy. It's very trippy. In fact, if you run your mouse over the big circle that comes up when you first get on it, you'll find a little surprise comes at you from the center of that circle.
Oh, how interesting!
Very dear.
How interesting. And then what can I expect? The movie comes in the mail. Do I call some of my friends and pop popcorn, or do I darken the house and wait till midnight? What kind of...
You shout it from the rooftop.
Or shout it from the rooftop. I've got this. Here's how to get
Every time you get on the air, you say, God, you know, I can't forget this wonderful movie that I saw.
Exactly. You know? But what kind
What can
of,
I tell you, you know?
Popcorn.
Oh,
or,
yes. Be it where it's dark and you have a really good TV, and do invite your friends, and, you know... And, of course, don't show them everything. Don't show them the bonus material, because then you say, look, buy our DVD, and you can also see this wonderful bonus material.
Ooh, so. I like that plan. So, and then eventually, of course, we're hoping that, you know, that people can get a hold of this DVD, and they can, you know, they can buy the DVD and then have it in their collection, and then surprise.
It's not a thing you want to see over and over, you know. It's not like a story. Oh, I saw that story, you know. It's so beautiful. You just want to, because it's full of beautiful photography. So aside from all the points we're making, you can just look at the pictures, and they're just beautiful.
Oh, it sounds absolutely amazing, Suzanne.
And it is the kind of thing you would show your friends as opposed to some, you know, normal, regular movie. I mean, it's unusual, you know? This is a sort of miracle on earth that hardly anybody knows about to any great degree.
You have definitely intrigued me, and I like that. You've perked my ears up and got me interested. And I love the fact that you brought all of that together into this movie. WWW.
Now, if you invite enough people, you invite me too.
Oh, I love that plan.
Yeah, and I come with DVDs. Then you don't have to pay for shipping.
Oh, I love it. So the website is www.whatonearththemovie.com, and you've got a very, very busy schedule coming up promoting this, and I'm so happy to be a part of that because we got to meet you and get a glimpse into what you've created for us to learn from and enjoy.
Let me tell your listeners one more thing. If you have listeners in L.A., I'm in a film festival in L.A., and it's showing this Thursday at a ridiculous time, 10 a.m. in the morning. But if you get on my website and email me, I will send you details, and I'd love to have people come and see it at this festival. It's called the L.A. Femme Film Festival, and you have to be a woman with a principal role in the film to get into it. It's a very prestigious little female film festival.
Oh, that sounds exciting. And I do know that we do have people in L.A. who listen, because we get the emails.
Well, you have to be in touch. If they remember, it's Suzanne@whatonearththemovie.com, and it's S-U-Z-A-N-N-E. They can just email me, and I will give them the information.
Suzanne Taylor, it was so good to meet you and talk about this and your experience.
Did we have fun or what?
We had a great time. So,
Can you hang on
the line, though, for just a moment?
Hang on the line.
Sure.
Yeah, just hang on the line for 1 second.
Excellent, excellent. What a fun time. www.whatonearththemovie.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Filmmaker Suzanne Taylor.
What do you have coming?
Absolutely fantastic. Coming up next. Yeah. Oh, wow. Next, we're going to talk about, is this the end of the world? Are these the end times? So we better hurry up and get over there, whatonearththemovie.com. But after this break, we'll be talking with Dr. Alfred Adams.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.